some measures. Those measures have been put around to you this time. That when Bnei Yisrael were given a second chance after the Chet Egel, so the Malachim said, "Wait a second. You know, you just said yesterday, Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim Al Panai, you don't worship Avodah Zarah, and these people worship Avodah Zarah. Why do you give them a second chance?" So Hashem says, "Wait a second. When you, the Malachim, posed as people, what happened?" It says, "Vayikach Emav Chalav Ben Avakar Asher Asah." Right? Avram gave them milk and butter and meat. And what you do? You messed up and you violated the Isser of Basar B'Chalav. So Chasam Sofer in Parshas Vayera points out that it wasn't really Basar B'Chalav. Obviously, you know, if you're going to criticize them, you're going to criticize Avram Avinu, because the only way to have real Basar B'Chalav is to cook it together. And he obviously, you know, if we're assuming that Avram Avinu kept Kol Torah Kulo, he didn't cook it together. So what happened? He gave them first the milkliks and then the fleishiks, and like the Medrash says, every child knows how to go through that proceeding. Meaning, if you want to have milk and then meat, so you have to do kinuach and hadachah. Some Silver points out that there was no bread, and therefore there was no possibility of wiping your mouth out. Meaning, kinuach means you know, to eat something between. They didn't wash their hands, and so the Malachim violated Basar B'Chalav. So I thought we'd talk about some of these issues, not the cooking milk and meat together, but some of the related issues, the Drabbanan issues of Basar B'Chalav, that relate somewhat to this parsha based on that Medrash. So the first thing is that Mishnah Chulin says that Asu Halos Em Hagvin Al Shulchan, that you can't have cheese and meat on the same table at the same time. Meaning it's not only the Isser D'oraisa is cooking milk and meat together, and then that itself is a violation, and eating milk and meat that was cooked together is another violation. If they're not cooked together, then it's only Drabbanan, and yet our rabbis were concerned about eating milk and meat together, even if it wasn't cooked together. Or maybe the food was hot. Whatever the case is, you know, even if the food is cold, we're makbid, that you can't have milk and meat on the same table. Tosus points out, though, that that the way to solve that problem is to lefirach nogan achshav, when one person's, you know, you're at a lunchroom and one person's eating meat, one person's eating milk, so you have something between them that's like a simen. You leave the phone on the table or something to show that that we're not going to share food with one another. And, or you could put a placemat underneath, and that's the makor. That's the that's why we have placemats. When one person's eating milk, one person's eating fleishiks, that's what the placemat is for. Okay, so that's one area. Another area is waiting between milk and meat. So Rav Chista says in Gemara in Source 5, Achal basar asu lechal gvina, gvina batu lechal basar. So if you ate meat, you can't eat cheese. If you ate cheese, you're allowed to eat meat after.
Cheese, do you clarify cheese?
Yeah, you know, we're not going to get into that. We only have 15 minutes. There are cheeses that you're supposed to wait. That's a minhag of the Maharam. I just don't have time.
Okay.
So the reason why the Gemara says a reason, or at least the Gemara seems to say the reason why you can't eat cheese after meat is basar bein hashinayim. Gemara quotes the pasuk of basar adena bein hashinayim. Mar Okfa says I am like vinegar compared to my father, who's wine, because my father would wait 24 hours between meat and milk, and I only wait from suda to suda. So Rashi says here, "Asu lechal gvina mishum debasar motzi shuman v'nidbak yafe nidbak bepeh umach matamo." That there's oils in the meat, and you kind of taste it. You know, even after you digest it, you know, the taste comes up. The Rambam writes, "Mishachal basar betchil ben basar ben basar of loychal chavat shi abenim ki." So Ram says two things. A, you wait about 6 hours because of what's between your teeth. So the Torah points out that there's two differences in the Rambam and the and Rashi. According to Rashi, it's because you swallowed meat. So if you only chew on the meat and then you spit it out, it wouldn't be a concern. According to the Rambam, the concern is meat stuck between your teeth, so even if you chewed on it. Similarly, another scenario is after the required time. So according to the Rambam, we assume that anything that's between your teeth already is not considered basar. So it doesn't mean that after 6 hours, something that's stuck in your teeth is automatically going to come out. It'll come out, but it's so denatured already that it's not considered meat anymore. So if there's meat stuck between your teeth, you don't have to worry about it. According to Rashi, if there's still meat stuck between your teeth, it might still be a concern if there's a significant amount or, you know, you swallowed something. So then the waiting time would still apply. The minhag of waiting for cheese, just since you mentioned it, is because certain hard cheeses get stuck between your teeth. So that's the chumrah, the maharam. So the Torah and Shulchan Aruch seem to be choshev for both opinions. We wait either for Rashi or for the Rambam about 6 hours, even if you just chewed on the meat. And if meat comes out and you swallow it, you sensibly also have to wait 6 hours.
Is referring to cheese and referring to milk.
I think we assume milk? That it's for the whole category.
Wait 3 hours and 4 hours.
I just will get to that in a second. Okay. So Tosos says, the Gemara already says Sudas Achrina Chilna, meaning that it sounds like Meikar, then you're allowed to wait just till the next Suda. So Tosos says, what does that mean? It doesn't mean like, you know, you eat a meal, you know, breakfast, you have to wait till lunch. It just means that if you take everything off the table and you're benched, then that's it. And then you can resume with the next meal with milchiks. So that's what the Rama points out, that Meikar Adin, you can wait an hour, but the Minog is to wait, Kamoshe shows, that what the Mechaber says. Darkei Tshuva quotes this Minog from that some people wait 3 hours, and it's based on the fact that, you know, in the winter, so 6 hours is really a lot less time, it's more like 3 hours, so if it works in the winter, it works the whole year. That's the explanation.
Another explanation, real fast, it was in Western Europe that the 4-hour came along, because in Germany and England and France and so on, they would have tea in the afternoon.
Right.
And that was considered as though it was
absolutely. Right. Yeah, whatever. There is such a minhag. It's quoted. There is such a minhag. You know, whether you would apply that in a community now where people are no longer part of the German community. Okay, that's a different question. One more point in the next few minutes. Meat and dairy equipment. What does that mean? So this is a complicated sugya, but I'm just going to try to get the basic ideas. So the Gemara says that if you have fish that was on a meat plate, so you can't eat that fish with dairy. Okay, so the fish was a hot piece of fish, went on a meat plate that was used in the last 24 hours. You can't eat it together with dairy. Right, so that's, so this is the not bar not sugya. So it's a secondary taste. The Gemara says it can be eaten with dairy. So there's a machlokas rishonim. The Rashi says straight out that if you put fish on a meat plate, you can eat it with dairy. Tosus quotes the Rivan that this only applies to a plate, but if you cooked it in a pot, so that's a whole different story. And then once the fish was cooked in a meat pot, then you can't put chalav on it lechachila, but b'di'eved, that then everybody agrees. Meaning, you accidentally put cheese on this fish that was cooked in a meat pot, you're allowed to eat it. But lechachila, you can't mix the fish with cheese.
Okay, what about if you cook the fish in a milk pot or whatever, you know, like a dairy pot, and then put it on a meat plate? Same thing.
Right, so we'll get to the plate is a different issue, but to mix it with the opposite min, like literally mix the meat. So that according to, so Ashkenazim follow the Rivan and the Mechaber and Svardim, Halak LaHalacha, follow the Pasha, or I would say Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, that it doesn't matter, meaning we cook fish in a meat pot, that fish is parf. Whether you can mix fish with milk is a different issue, but I think we discussed that once, but if it was vegetables, let's say, you'd be allowed to mix it. In Ashkenaz, my machmir, not to mix the chachila. If you accidentally mixed it, but the evid, you're allowed to eat it. Okay. So, but even according to Ashkenazim, so there are a number of coolers. So one is the one that you mentioned, that's only when it comes to actual food. But you can take, let's say, fish that was cooked in a meat pot and put it on a milchik plate. That's not a problem. The second kula, which is important, and this is probably the most relevant, is that if it's an Eina Ben Yomo pot, meaning the pot wasn't used in the last 24 hours for meat, then it's more kal. So the Vilna Gaon says the chachila and the Chacham Sodom qualifies it, but let me just give a scenario here. This is like the most common scenario. You cook noodles in a fleshik pot, in a meat pot, and then you decide later you want to have some of those noodles with cheese. So the Vilna Gaon will say, well, if it was made in a meat pot, but the meat pot wasn't used in the last 24 hours, then there's no concern at all. That's mutter lechachila.
We're assuming that the pot has no...
A clean meat pot, right.
Scrubbed
clean,
out right. With Brillo or whatever it was.
I don't know if you need Brillo. Or just clean. You can't see anything. It wasn't right. You can't... There's nothing banned. Visible. There's nothing banned. And, it was clean. And the Chacham Sodom qualifies a little bit. He says, you can't do this lechachila, meaning... I can't find my milchik pot right now. I want to make mac and cheese. So I'll make it in my fleshik Eina Ben Yomo pot, knowing right after that I'm going to put the noodles with the cheese in the microwave. That you cannot do. But if you made, let's say, spaghetti to make spaghetti and meatballs, and you had leftover spaghetti, that is mutter lechachila to mix later on with cheese, because you didn't have in mind dafka to mix it with the cheese. It's a leftover thing, or... You made it without any intention to do that.
Now, when you say cheese is cheese, excuse me. That's a good example. Hard cheese as opposed to cottage cheese or farmer's cheese?
I don't think it matters. According to Svardim, this is okay no matter what. According to the Vilna Gaon, it's also okay no matter what because it's Eina Ben Yomo. And the Chacham Sodom just says as long as you don't have in mind dafka, when you cook in the meat pot, to mix it with the milk. One more thing that even though like sharp foods we consider as an exception to the rule of naparnat. So if you cook like sharp foods in a meat frying pan, you cook onions in a meat frying pan, those onions are assumed to be fleshiks, even if it's Eina Ben Yomo, even if the pan wasn't used in 24 hours. However, Rabbi Kivager points out that everyone agrees that if you eat those onions, it doesn't make you fleshiks to the point that you don't have to wait 6 hours. Meaning the onions are fleshiks for other purposes, but not for the purpose of waiting between meat and milk. For food that was cooked in fleshik pot, you for sure don't have to wait, but even if it was sharp foods, you don't have to wait. As long as it's part of ingredients, meaning there's nothing milchiks in the ingredients, so you don't have to wait. Yeah. Okay.